With light snow, the time is 9 o'clock.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump standing by his decision to temporarily reverse the tariffs put in place just a few days ago, even though Canada and China say they will keep reciprocal tariffs in place for now. The Trump administration trying to refocus its efforts to slim down the federal workforce. ABC's Andrew Dimbert has that.
As Trump works to downsize the federal government, he's taking steps to restrain Elon Musk after cabinet members voiced concern about mass firings. Trump now emphasizing it's cabinet members who will decide which workers stay in employed, not Musk. Trump now vowing to cut the federal workforce with a scalpel rather than a hatchet.
Setback for SpaceX after last night's Starship rocket launch ended in an explosion that could be seen as far away as the Caribbean. An unexploded bomb from World War II found not far from the busy Gare du Nord train station in Paris. Minesweepers were sent to the site, but a nearby road was shut down. Eurostar service is also suspended. This is ABC News. There's a new study out on vanishing butterflies. Scientists say a quarter of all butterflies have been wiped out in this country since the year 2000.
A newly released study finds the Southwest has been especially hard hit, from Arizona and New Mexico to Oklahoma and Texas. Researchers blame everything from climate change to chemicals. Nearly one-third of all species are down at least 50%. Why so much concern? Butterflies play a key role in pollinating plants and are a part of the food chain. Their disappearance could take a major toll on ecosystems and agriculture.
ABC's Andrew Dimbert. Authorities say they will reveal more information today in the investigation into the death of actor Gene Hackman and his wife at their New Mexico home. The Santa Fe County Sheriff's Office continues to say it does not suspect foul play, and tests for carbon monoxide poisoning have turned up negative. It's believed the couple may have died 2 weeks before their bodies were discovered last month. Autopsy results are pending. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Ladies and gentlemen, get ready for a night of rock and roll magic. This Saturday from 6 until 8 p.m., Tony Rocker brings the spirit of Elvis Presley to the Phoenix Center in Richland Center. Experience the energy, the moves, and the legendary voice of one of the best Elvis tribute artists around. Don't miss this unforgettable night. Mark your calendar, bring your friends, and let's rock the night away. For more details, check out the event page on Facebook. Tony Rocker, live this Saturday at the Phoenix Center.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out.
This is Mark Jelenic of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service. We understand the loss of a loved one is a complicated and very stressful time for surviving family members. We pride ourselves on making final arrangements convenient and stress-free. Our services and memorial facilities have been designed with your family's comfort and convenience in mind. We are equipped to meet all of your requests, allowing you time to connect with family and friends while celebrating and reflecting on your loved one's life. The Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service's dedicated funeral directors and staff are here for you.
Your WRCO Hometown Weather Watch is brought to you by the Schultz Mortgage Team. Call 608-738-8765 and find out how you can buy a house without needing 20% down.
A high of 41 today after some light snow possible. Partial sunshine later today. Tonight, mostly clear, a low of 21. Saturday, warmer, lots of sunshine, a high of 47. Mostly clear Saturday night, a low of 25. Sunday, 54 and sunny, and highs near 62 with sunshine on Monday.
Wisconsin workers deserve a living wage and the right to negotiate with employers on wages and benefits. That right was taken away from a lot of Wisconsin workers in 2011, and we now have a chance to fix that. This is an issue that our state Supreme Court will hear soon. There is also a state Supreme Court election coming up on April the 1st. If you want to see Wisconsin workers given back the right to negotiate with employers for fair wages and benefits, research the two Supreme Court candidates. Decide which candidate is more likely to uphold your rights and which one is more likely to leave you with fewer rights and lower wages. Rich mega donors are spending millions on negative ads. We don't need that in Wisconsin. Just tune them out and turn them off. And read what the candidates themselves have said. Make sure you're registered to vote and know your voting location. Your vote could be the difference on April 1st to help ensure your economic future. Paid for by Economic Equity Now.
Well, it's about time. time for a blind date. That's right, a blind date with Steve, Bailey Paint and Decorating's blind man. Steve takes the stress out of fitting new window treatments by handling all the measuring and installation. Whether it's cellular, pleated, roller, or solar blinds, new window treatments will give your home a fresh look. And for a limited time, receive a free cordless lift upgrade on select Graber shades. Make a blind date today. Visit Bailey Paint and Decorating on Court Street, downtown Richland Center.
My name is Bonnie Jones, and I would like to invite you to come worship at Willow Valley United Methodist Church. In addition to the congregation being welcoming and warm, worship at Willow Valley is fun. My husband and I previously used to attend a large urban church, and we now delight in the active exchange between the congregation and the pastor during the worship service. It's unpretentious, it's interactive, it's informative, and it really is enjoyable. If you are looking for a church where you can be yourself, where you can be welcomed like family, and where worship is fun, come check us out at Willow Valley in beautiful downtown Ithaca. I hope to see you there.
Welcome to Richland Family Restaurant Studios, where great music and good times meet.
Escanaba in the Moonlight is the subject today on the morning show. We've got a studio full of guests and cast members of that fine production, which is going to be happening in just one short week. And we start our conversation today with director Andrew Sharp. It was just a short time ago you were talking trivia, and we're going to be doing this show, and here you are, your first big show of the year, Andrew.
Right. That was back in January, and I was just saying it seemed like this date was a long way off, and here it is already, so... Time flies when you're having fun.
Is this a show that you thought about doing, dreamed about doing for a while?
Yeah, not really. I actually just had the idea before one of our meetings where we decide what shows we're going to do for the year. I thought, gosh, nobody's done Escanaba in the Moonlight in a while. We should do it. And I said, yeah, I'll direct it. And so that's what it was. It was really kind of a spur of the moment thing, really.
Is it a different show to direct from some that you've had recently? It's a smaller cast, right?
It's the smallest cast I've had since I did Steel Magnolias in like 2002 or somewhere in there. So, you know, more than 20 years, it's the smallest cast that I've had. It's a different show to direct because when we did auditions, Glenn Dunn came to me very selflessly and said, "You got enough people. I don't need to be in the show. I'm willing to be assistant director." And then Dave Tim came up to me and said, "You got enough people. I don't need to be in the show. I'm willing to be assistant director." So we've all been directing the show together, and in the program it's going to read that there are three directors. There are no assistant directors because they've done such a great job helping out. You know, Glenn's got many, many years of experience. Dave's got many, many years of experience directing, acting, and putting it all together. So when we're doing the rehearsals, kind of the load is not entirely on me to go do this, do that, or think up funny bits of business. I've got Glenn and Dave there to do it as well, and they think of stuff that I never would have thought of, and I hope I think of stuff too. And so it really has greatly improved the show, I think.
Glenn doesn't have a microphone, but I believe he's been in this production before,
right,
hasn't he?
Right, which is why his help is so invaluable, because he said, you know, when we did it, I did this or they did that. Or there's liquids on stage. There's magic Native American potion. And so we're asking him, how did you do that? They're throwing beers around. You know, how did you do that? So just things like that. It helps out a lot.
Well, you don't have to get musical direction. You don't have to, you know, worry about those kind of cues and things like that.
Right. So. Oh, yeah. Much, much simpler than a musical. You don't have to set up for the dance scenes and stuff like that. And the other really interesting thing about this show is that we're able to rehearse the whole show every night. It's a short show. It's an hour and a half. And so every night we can rehearse the whole thing. And, I mean, we didn't do that every night, but we did that way more than you usually can You know, usually you're doing sections of a show at rehearsals until the end when you're doing the whole thing. But we've been doing the whole thing right from the beginning. So
tell me about the origin of the show, the history of it.
Well, Jeff Daniels, of who he's most famous for Dumb and Dumber to the public, but he's really a theater guy. And he made all these movies and things like that, and then kind of took a step back from Hollywood somewhere in the 1980s, started his own theater company in Michigan, and had this play in him. I think that he's had experience going up to the UP, and he must have to write this. So he's from Michigan. They go up to the UP, and so Jeff Daniels wrote this show. He wrote it for his theater company, and then it got very popular in Michigan. Somehow he managed to convince somebody to let him make a movie, a small kind of indie sort of movie. But he couldn't really get distributors for it, the distributors who will get it into theaters all over the United States. But they put it in Michigan, and it was hugely popular, and that gave him enough backing to get it distributed more widely. And so they got the movie out there. But there's also the play, which has been done in Michigan many times. And he actually used people from his theater company in the movie. Like the guy that plays the Jimmer is somebody from his theater company. So that's really the origins of it.
I'm probably one of the ones that saw it in its first run in the theater because it was kind of here and it was gone. But in your opinion, I've always thought that the stage production is better than the movie, but what is your thought?
I absolutely think that the stage production is better than the movie. I saw the movie and thought that they dragged things out too much. He's running through the woods and stuff like that. It just doesn't have the punch. This is also the first play that I can think of where I'm telling my cast, slow down. Usually it's the opposite thing, speed up. We got to take the air out of this. They've got this down. And like last night at rehearsal, they were cooking. And I wanted to say something, but I didn't want to stop them because they were just on a roll doing this. So
yeah, off to the races.
Right.
Rangers, I tell you what.
We'll get some of that Uper talk on the air here in just a little bit. Maybe you can go around the room and tell us who's here in terms of the part that they play.
Well, I've got Matt Rowe, who people that go to Community Players shows will recognize as Buddy the Elf from Elf. And he's playing Reuben, the son who's never bagged a buck. Got Cassidy Mansilla Young, who is playing Wolf Moon Dance. His wife is his Native American wife, who only has a small part at the end, but is very integral to the whole story. Then we've got Greg Schmidt, who's playing Albert Sody, and in the movie that was Harvey Presnell, who people know from like Fargo. He was the rich banker father in Fargo. But Greg is doing the grumpy but lovable old man for us in this. Alex Miller is playing Remnar Sody, who is Reuben's brother and is maybe not quite as bright of a bulb as Reuben, which isn't saying much. And then we've got Cam Cormican as the Jimmer, who's been abducted by aliens and sent back different. He can drink like a fish, and he has certain other incredible abilities that the cast members make use of during the course of the movie. And then Dwayne Rose is playing Ranger Tom Treato, which is actually Jeff Daniels' wife's maiden name, Treato, not that that makes any difference. But he's the DNR agent that drops in the middle of the night right before opening season. And you can imagine what a warm welcome the DNR agent is going to get from everybody. So
awesome. Yeah. When these people walked in the door, could you kind of see? I mean, you know, sometimes when you're casting, that's what happens. It's like, is a perfect.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that Greg would be perfect for Albert Sody was obvious. The real shocker for me was Alex, I've got to say. I wasn't expecting Alex to try out for a lowbrow comedy, if you want to call this that. I wasn't expecting that, but thank goodness, because I couldn't do the show without him. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Well, let's go around the room and hear from him here a little bit.
Great.
We'll talk to Matthew Rowe first. Ruben, how you doing, Matthew?
Oh, good. How are you?
Good. Good to have you in the studio with us.
Thank you very much.
So the acting bug bit you. It seems like you've been pretty busy now in recent productions.
Very much so. Yeah, yeah. Started off maybe 3 years ago with, it'd be...
The Lion,
the Witch, and the Wardrobe, right, yeah. Started off with that, and ever since, I kind of just can't get enough.
Now, you did not act in high school, is that correct?
I did not, no. I did some poetry stuff in high school near the tail end, but other than that, I wasn't really into acting or being on stage or anything like that.
Right. Then you got the role of Buddy the Elf, and you had to be on the whole time, pretty much, didn't
you?
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah. That was a thrill. It's nice, though, being kind of in a smaller production, working with so many talented people like this. It really makes a nice, close-knit, very talented group of people. Makes everything flow very easily and simply, and it's been a blast so far.
Were you aware of Escanaba Into Moonlight before you tried out?
I had no idea, if I'm being honest. Yeah, I never really heard of it or anything like that, but being in it, I've seen the movie, and yeah, it's a thrill, to say the least.
Tell me about your character.
Ruben... as director had said, very close-knit. He's very, very close to his chest, and I think he's trying to impress everyone is kind of his thing. He maybe didn't get that growing up, but he's very much trying to bag the buck, trying to do his most.
Mm-hmm. And are you the one that has not gotten a buck?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes. Oldest Sodi in the history of Sodis. He's kind of trying to get it done.
So that in itself is pretty humorous. There.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Do you have some in real life hunting experience?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I prefer a tree stand, if I'm being honest. I like to get up there, but yeah. Yeah. Go out with my dad a fair lot.
He was a trap shooter at Ithaca.
Oh, mm-hmm. Trap shooter. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So you have a little gun experience.
Oh, yes, yes. All-state trap shooter. Yep.
Ah, that's mm-hmm. awesome. Nobody else in the cast can probably say that.
I don't believe so, no.
So have you ever been at a deer camp that, and I don't want to say is similar, but...
I'd say yes. I know a group of people very close to my house, actually, where I used to live, kind of a half-mile walk, and there's this cabin in the woods, and it's quite similar to what we got going on in our set, just got skulls everywhere and posters and such, but yeah, very similar to the authentic feel of a deer camp.
There's so much going on here. I would think, is it hard to not break character? I mean, just especially when you first started reading the lines.
Of course, very much so. I'm still even having trouble. We're months into rehearsing now, and still every night someone makes me laugh with the way they say the line or a sound effect. It's hard not to crack up. Yeah,
I bet. Andrew, you're probably doing the Gene Burka thing. Don't be ad-libbing these parts and trying to make people laugh.
No, they've been pretty good. They've been pretty good about it. And of course, I want them to fool around. I want them to play with it. That's what rehearsals are for. So that's really fine. You know, we're not doing House of Seven Gables, and Jean wrote it herself, and so you better stick to the script.
True. So this one does allow a little bit of that, maybe embellishment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The script is good enough for the play. They don't need to ad lib, and I think they know that.
So. Right. Exactly. What's your favorite part about being this role?
I definitely say it's nice being a character that's not... started in Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. I was kind of super evil. Buddy the Elf is the opposite end of that. But it's nice being kind of a middle-of-the-road kind of just guy who's trying to get along and get stuff done.
Mm-hmm.
Nice being able to act like that. I like that.
Is it somewhat close to Matthew's... real life persona? Or
I'd like to say no, but I imagine he's a little closer than I like to say.
You've gotten a buck before, though.
Probably. I have, yeah, yes,
right.
Yes.
So you got that going for you.
Yeah, at least. Yep.
Why do you think people should come out and see the show?
Well, as I said before, we have just home run hitters here. Every single person in this room is incredibly talented, and they have so much experience. I'd say I'm the least experienced person here, and everyone else is just talent all around. So I'm thinking and it'll be nonstop laughs if I had to guess through the whole show.
Yeah. Opens a week from tonight. Mm-hmm. Well, let's move the microphone over here. We're going to talk to Cassidy Mancia-Young. And good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How about you?
Doing well. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about the show. We've been hearing the ads on the air and everything. So are you excited to see it in front of an audience?
Oh, I'm absolutely excited to be in front of an audience again, you know?
And tell us about your character and the part that you play.
So I play Wolf Moon Dance, and she, like Andrew said, she doesn't really appear until near the end of the show, and she's got sort of not a lot of lines, but she is still integral. Like, Ruben will continually talk about her, and some of the stuff that she does off stage, off screen, is sort of really important to what happens in the story. So she's very important to the story, despite not being in a lot of it.
So what do you do backstage while this is going on then?
When the show starts going on, I'll probably start helping out with like stage light, stuff like that. Although at the moment I have been just sitting and sort of listening in on what's going on, sort of trying to gauge basically like how everything's going, you know.
What about past productions? Have you been in other shows here in Richland Center?
I actually don't have a lot of experience. This is only my, like, technically seventh show overall, and it's only my, third or fourth with community players. And so I haven't had that much experience, maybe a little bit more than that, but not that much. But I don't think I had a single show where I haven't had at least one line, so... Mm-hmm.
Comedy and drama, sometimes it's hard. Some say drama's hard, some say comedy's hard. Which do you prefer?
I don't know. That's a tough question because, you know, I think both are equally hard, but they're just really hard in their own separate ways. I think comedy might be slightly harder because, you know, everybody has a different sense of humor and everybody finds something else funny. Like, one person might find something funny that somebody else doesn't. So that might be a little bit harder than drama. But I personally prefer doing comedy more because laughter is kind of a remedy for me.
Something we all need, isn't it? What's that, Andrew?
Comedy is so much harder than drama. Groucho Marx, and younger people won't even know who Groucho Marx is anymore, but a very, very famous comedian. And he did some dramatic roles, and the critics are going, oh my gosh, he can act. And he said, doing a dramatic role is nothing compared to doing comedy and having to have the timing and having to make people laugh. He felt that's really what separated, you know, the men from the boys, if you can do comedy. And I agree. Mm-hmm. Comedy is much harder.
Right. I think sometimes for actors in movies, though, it's hard for them to kind of shake that comedic role because everybody sees them in that form,
right,
too.
Right.
But
well, now, not to get off on a tangent, the first version of All Quiet on the Western Front, which was made in Germany, used a comedic woman as the boy's mother. And this is a very, very serious movie. And they had to replace her and reshoot the scenes with somebody else because when German audiences saw her, they laughed. Even though it wasn't a funny part at all, they just automatically laughed.
Sure.
So that's very true.
Yeah, forever in that role.
Right.
So, good. How does it feel to be like the flower among all these thorns, I guess? Sorry.
Well, it's not like... I don't really know how to describe it because my character is definitely different from everybody else's. Mine is definitely not even supposed to be comedic. Like, she says something that's maybe slightly comedic, but that's not intentional. So it's kind of weird just being sort of the odd one out of the cast, but it's fun either way because everybody here is so funny and everybody here is really friendly and it's been great doing the show with everybody even though I don't have much on stage time.
Do you mix up the actual remedies or potions or whatever appears on
No, I do not, unfortunately. No? If I did, I don't know if I would even be able to handle it, honestly.
So you're looking forward to the show coming up next weekend. Why should people go see it, in your opinion?
Oh, because it's a ball. It is one of the funniest shows I've ever been part of. Every single time I've gone to a rehearsal, I don't think I've ever come out not laughing. I think every single time it has been the funniest thing, no matter how many times a single line is repeated, I just can't help but laugh sometimes, you know? It's a great show. I think it's very comedic, very funny, and I think everybody will enjoy it, even if they don't think it's their cup of tea.
Now, do you have an accent? Like the rest, or
no?
Not?
My character is very accentless. She doesn't have an accent.
So that's good.
Yeah, I don't have any accent.
For some of these people, it may come natural. Let's move the microphone over here to Mr. Schmidt. Hi, Greg, how you doing?
Hey, Phil.
The accent, the Uper accent, I know you do that quite well. Do you have past experience?
No, I do not. it actually, Glenn brought up Charlie Behrens, and that really does help. He's very good at the Uper accent, and just listening to him really helped me out with that. So, and just years of experience on stage, you just kind of pick that stuff up, I think.
Sure. You've had other roles, some dramatic and comedic, but what's your favorite?
Well, up till now, my favorite was probably Dr. Treves in The Elephant Man, which was a very serious role. And, you know, Pap from Big River was another favorite of mine, which was also had some comedic parts, but it was a very serious role as well. And so this is my first true comedy, and it is difficult. It's not drama, you know, you can lean on life experience, but in a comedy, you know, you have to have that timing and you have to have that. You go out there and you cannot be afraid to make a fool out of yourself. And this show will do that to us. But just come see it. You'll see. So it's been a pleasure for me. You know, anybody that knows me knows that most of the time I'm extremely serious. My friends growing up, you know, when my wife met them, they, you know, well, he's pretty intense, you know, so. Kind of letting my hair down here, so.
And growing a beard too.
Yeah, I am. Nobody in town has ever seen me with facial hair or even hair as long as it is right now. I typically have a crew cut and clean shaven, so this is different. My wife, I'm pretty sure she doesn't like it.
For the arts, though.
That's right. What we do for our trade is fun.
So tell us about the character that you play, Greg.
Well, once again, I was typecast. Albert Sody being the grumpy patriarch of the Sody family. And it really isn't that far from, you know, who I am in general. I typically am a very serious person, but I get around my theater friends and you know, especially right now, it has been a pleasure to work with all these gentlemen and this young lady next to me and three of the best directors that we could ask for. I think the show is going to be phenomenal. For me now, after this many weeks, you know, the punchlines aren't as funny when you see it night or hear it night after night after night. But when we first read the script, I had never seen it, but Christine and Shay told me they saw when Glenn was in it, and they said it's the funniest show that they'd ever seen. And so I'm just glad to be in it. It's going to be a good time.
Do you find yourself talking with the Uper accent now in everyday life?
I do at work. You know, I'm a supervisor at work, and you know, and I'll just start going, you know, well, hey there, you know, and then you catch yourself, and it's like, oh man, you know, I'm my boss. But they all know I'm in the show. I don't know if they put two and two together, but it does come out once in a while now.
Have you been a hunter in the past?
I have. You know, and we did growing up. My best friend they had a deer camp. It was an old circus wagon, and it was really really cool. Really really cold during the winter. And you know, we'd wake up and the sodas would be froze, and you know, it'd just be, you know, 20 below in the cabin when it was 20 below outside. The soda is a little bit warmer. We do have a potbelly stove, so it's, yeah. I grew up with it. Grew up with it, all the fathers and uncles and brothers all playing poker, and just the whole nine yards. So it's been fun.
Euchre's the game in this production.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, and. We're playing euchre, and you know I went alone on a left nine, and I didn't get bumped. So you know, got to count on your partner for one. So we're all right.
Quite an accomplishment there.
It is.
Oh, this is going to be a fun show, and I know you're going to encourage all your friends and neighbors. But what about the radio audience? What would you say about the show?
I would say, do not miss this show. If you want to have a 90 minutes. Where you can just sit down, relax, and laugh about things that, you know, really aren't that far from what we all do anyway. If you know a man, so a lot of this show is going to resonate. You know, just Men are men, and we're just going to show you what we're all about when we're up at deer camp, and it's really not that far from the truth.
We look forward to it. Let's swing over to the other side of the room here, and we have Remnar, is that right?
Yep, that is right.
Alex Miller, and how many shows have you been in with Community Players?
Oh my, I've lost count. There's been a lot. Actually, with this show, this is my first show back with Community Players, and I should look it up, probably 6, 7, maybe even 8 years. So it's been a really nice homecoming.
Now, Andrew said maybe it was a bit of a surprise to see you in wanting this role. Is it a stretch for you?
Yes, in the sense that most of my acting right now is over in Baraboo. I'm part of the Baraboo Theater Guild. I'm part of CAB Theater, which is the Creative Alliance of Baraboo. So most of the time, even though I live here in Richland Center, most of my time is spent over in Baraboo. So I saw on Facebook that Andrew was directing this, and I'm like, I have to do this. I have to do this. I did it, and I'm glad I did.
Tell us about your character.
Remnar Sodhi. He is the younger brother of Ruben. Fun fact, I am older, spoiler alert, by a few years, and he is what I can describe as a lovable idiot, which I don't think is too far from the truth for the guy playing him. He, unlike his brother, has bagged a buck or more, and with him, he has this annual deer camp ritual, and he wants to stick with it, and anything beyond that is bad, is superstitious, and he doesn't like it.
Now, do you have any hunting experience?
Oh, bag? God, no.
No?
No. I am the farthest thing from a typical deer hunter that you can be.
But obviously, it's acting.
Right? It is.
It's a parody. And, you know, sometimes in life, you may know people that talk like that and act like that, too.
Oh, right? Yeah, definitely. I know a lot of people. I'm like, oh, I see Remnar in you. Yes.
And the other thing you got to get used to, I think, and I've been in a few productions over the years where, you know, you read the lines or you say the lines and you're not thinking that it's funny. All of a sudden, the audience laughs. It kind of surprised you. You're like, oh, I didn't realize that was funny, but I guess it is.
Exactly. Right? Early on in rehearsal, I remember reading some of the lines and everyone was laughing. I'm like, oh, I guess that is funny. And and speaking of the script itself, learning to even just read as it's written, because it's written as Youper, that was a little tough to get used to. And it's so funny when I have my friends try to read the line so I can, you know, help learn my lines, they can't do it.
It's like a foreign language.
Right. Exactly, exactly.
Oh, so it's a quick show, about an hour and a half. There's no intermission or anything. And is there?
There is one. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. We need a break.
Uh-huh.
Act one is a little heavy.
Will the audience go out and have like venison sausage and things like that then? Or is that a
They should. Maybe a beer or two. Yeah, maybe.
It'll be even funnier in the second half.
Exactly.
Why should people come see it, Alex?
I think people should come see it, one, because I think they can see themselves in the show, and two, just with right now, just the climate of the country and everything, I think people need a laugh. They need a reason to come in, come together as a community, and just kind of turn off their minds and have a good time.
Escape a little bit.
Escape, exactly.
Sure. Have you seen the movie?
No, but I'm going to after the show is done, so that way it won't influence anything I do.
That's a good idea. With the movie, they leave some, I think, some things, you know, unsaid. Does the play explain a little bit more, possibly, of what happens on that fateful night?
Well, I think that it's clearly explained. What is causing all of this? Yes, you get the answer in the end.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So I'm not sure the movie did that. I don't recall.
Not as clearly as the play.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the play, it's pretty clear.
Good.
So
let's move over to Cameron over here. He's a veteran of this studio as well. If you want to slide that microphone around there, Cam. Yeah. And what part do you play?
I played a Jimmer. Jimmer Negamini from Menominee. I can say it better than Matt can.
So when you heard that's what Andrew was going to direct, did you have the Jimmer in mind?
Well, no. I was another one who was completely ignorant to this entire show going into it. I didn't watch the movie at first. I have watched it since then, partly because I probably have the most extreme accent. And if you saw the way my lines are written in the script, it's something else. So I had to watch it just to get my head around how some of these things are supposed to be said. And, you know, other people said Glenn's been in the show, and that's the part he played. So he's also been extremely helpful. Thank you. So I just knew Andrew was directing a show, and that's just kind of like, oh, Andrew's directing a show? I'll be in it. Oh, by the way, what show is it?
The Jimmer is a character that can almost steal the show a little bit, can he? He's a fan favorite, I think.
That's my secret evil wish, yes. he's probably the most extreme character I've ever done. Between the way he talks nearly unintelligibly, I'm trying to make him as not human as possible. So, like, I decided, like, for instance, he's constantly surrounded by invisible bats. So I'm constantly looking at the bats and swatting them away. Just last night we added a thing where he just randomly, once in a while, just giggles for no reason. Just, hey! Just once in a while. The Jimmer is something else.
A little bit of a stretch that way. What does the dialogue look like in the script for the Jimmer? Is it even harder to read than some of the rest?
Oh, yeah.
you can't make out what he's supposed to be saying the first two or three times you read it.
Like, one little section of one of my lines, don't worry, I won't say that line.
Okay.
I'm going to repeat it as close as I remember. And literally, this is the way it is spelled out in the script.
Okay.
So, Shekshing I Cho, Damor Sharshronin, like she's going to Shai Vashay. And so, I Shom Shaksh, Share for my Yaish, Sham I Shem Shushishi, and Shart Shooting.
That's exactly how it is.
Yep. Yeah, yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Letter for letter, that's how
right.
It's written.
Yep. He has the most memorable line about the Chevy. You know, I'm just going to say it.
Yep.
That's the line I remember the most. But I'm guessing every deer camp has somebody that may be similar to DeJimmer, though, right?
I'll take everyone's word for it. I'm like Alex. I'm very not a hunter. Don't have any objection to it. It's just I've tried using a gun, and there's a line about Reuben in the show that really would apply to me, as I've discovered when I've tried to use a gun, and that's what Albert says to Reuben: you couldn't hit a house if you were standing in it.
Yeah, you got to work on that a little bit. So, but you've done drama, you've done comedy. Which do you prefer, Cameron?
Well, my real answer would be musicals, but... I can't even really compare them, because... my goal going into a comedy versus a drama is it's like they're almost two entirely different tasks. Because with a drama, it's more creating a completely lifelike, believable character and, you know, really getting into the psychology of it to put yourself into the place. You know, I'm a fan of the Stanislavski method, the big what if. And just creating that whole character. Whereas with a comedy, you do create the character, don't get me wrong, but at the same time, it's developing the timing, making sure that the right emphasis is on the right word. Because, I mean, if you emphasize the wrong word in a line, you'll completely lose the comedy on that. And also just feeding on the laughter, you know, whereas drama is more just feeling the emotion from the audience and you know, being able to take quick side glances and seeing occasional tears coming down their face, seeing, you know, just having the silence from the audience, and that's what's powering you, versus comedy, having, you know, hearing that that uproarious laughter and knowing that, you know, you really kicked it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well said. Let's bring it over here to the other side of the room here, and the last guest from the cast, Mr. Dwayne Rose. This is a lot of the theater bug bit you quite a while ago, and you've been involved pretty much ever since, haven't
you? About 10 years ago, yeah.
10 years, wow. So you're kind of the buzzkill in this whole thing, aren't you? When you come into
Well, to be honest with you, somebody has to be the sane person.
I was gonna say. So you play the ranger.
I'm the DNR warden. Yes.
Uh huh. So you have to come in, but you kind of get caught up in the madness a little bit, don't you?
Yeah, I'm afraid so. I'm kind of an instigator of some of it. But, yeah, it's a different role, but I guess my facial expressions make it funny, and I don't know if my words make it funny as much as some of the other ones, but my actions hopefully help the situation. But
have you been a hunter through your life?
Oh yeah, yep. I'm afraid so.
I was gonna say,
hate to say how many years, telling my age then, but yeah, we hunt every year, and I have ever since high school, and we really never went up north. We hunt locally, but we get together, and maybe not in a cabin, but the cards and the beer and the cheese and the snacks and, yeah, all
euchre.
That stuff. Signs on the wall and bring your big racks and that sort of thing.
Oh, sure. So you
tell your stories. They get bigger every year.
Yeah. Right. So you kind of know the whole, you know, method of the madness there.
Yeah.
Now, do you have to speak with such a euchre accent or no?
No. I get to speak my own normal
language. Southwest Wisconsin accent,
yes,
I guess.
Exactly.
This is different than a lot of roles that you've played, though, isn't it, Dwayne?
Yeah, comedy. Most of them have been serious roles, Anne of Green Gables and that sort of thing. But comedy I got into a couple years ago, actually. My daughter called me up and said Reesburg was doing some comedy, and Elvis Presley left the building, and I love Elvis, and she said, "You gotta try out, Dad." So I did, and I got myself into more than I bargained for in that one, I'll tell you. But it was fun. That was my first try at comedy, and last year I did another one with Reesburg Players, a comedy show, and that turned out well too. And well, Andrew, you came to watch one of them. I don't know how I did, but
the Elvis one. Oh, you carried the whole show.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Impressed.
That was that was a tough one. It was about every other line through the whole show. So
wow.
But this is, I'm not in this one nearly as much. Only about half the show. But I make my presence known.
He has his moments.
And let's not forget your wonderful portrayal of Mortimer Scroggs in Coppersmith Inn.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Great. Laying dead on the floor for a half hour, yeah. That was a tough one.
The role you were born to play, I think it sounds like. I remember many years ago when the second week of Deer Camp came out, the Youpers record, and then 30 Point Buck. And I remember somebody saying, "Aren't deer hunters offended by that?" And I find, like, they're the ones that think it's the funniest. Wouldn't you agree, Dwayne?
Yeah, no, deer hunting's always been fun, but this is tremendous working with these guys, and I sit backstage for most of the first act, and yeah, you can laugh out loud if you really wanted to, but and they're getting better every night. They're pulling out things that weren't there before, that it's really funny, and I think laughter's the best medicine.
I do too.
I mean, I just hope people come and relax for an hour and a half and enjoy themselves and just kick back, you know?
Not that these cast members need energized, but I think when you get that audience in there, it's going to be even a little bit more, isn't it?
And you hear that laughter, that'll fuel things, you know, and make you try harder, you know?
Awesome.
Yeah, the audience makes a lot of difference.
Well, I've convinced them to do a little bit of the section of this show, so I think when we come back, we'll have you do a little portion of the show. We look forward to it. Escanaba Into Moonlight, our subject on The Morning Show.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always
price comes first.
This is Paul from Prescription Center. For over 40 years, we have been a trusted member of the health care of our community. We've always been here for everyone. From West Seminary Street, where it all started, to the hospital, and now to Saxonville Road, we have provided honest advice, low prices, and with the help of many of our friends, a pay-it-forward account to help those that can't afford their medication. We are humbled by the trust we have earned. We have always made every effort to make pharmacy affordable to all. We accept all insurances because you deserve to have your plan honored. The only area pharmacy to take TRICARE and CHAMP VA. What better way to say thank you to those who served? We thank all for their trust. If you want this type of service, let us be your pharmacy of choice.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
Celebrating the life of your loved one is a commitment all of us at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service take very seriously. I'm Nick Hodge. We have helped families since 1889 celebrate, honor, and remember the life of a loved one. Our promise to you is to provide service that allows you to be able to say goodbye while finding comfort and healing along the way. And we're available to answer your questions at any time at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service in Richland Center in Muscadet.
Opioid manufacturer Purdue Pharma's political action committee donated to just one Wisconsin candidate in 2016. That candidate was extreme politician Judge Brad Schimmel. The company also gave money to a national Republican group whose PAC spent nearly $3 million on Schimmel's 2018 election. From the year 2000 to 2017, Wisconsin had over 7,500 opioid-related deaths. Democratic and Republican attorneys general from other states and 71 out of 72 counties filed lawsuits against Purdue Pharma. But Brad Schimmel refused to join them. Thousands of Wisconsinites died. Wisconsin people should always take priority over profits. Tell Judge Brad Schimmel to look out for Wisconsinites, not out-of-state drug companies. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
Hi, this is Dan Miller, Okooch Books and Libations, downtown Richland Center. We call that this time of year was cabin fever. People come out of nowhere and come into town because they've burned too many fires. And we're waiting for you here at Okooch Books and Libations with all kinds of new records. You can get out your old phonograph and have a good time, all because of Okooch Books and Libations, 130 South Main, downtown Richland Center.
Looking for an exciting career opportunity with a world leader in coated glass for residential windows and doors? Look no further than Cardinal CG. They're hiring for all shifts, including production positions, with the potential to earn up to $29 an hour. Enjoy up to 6 weeks of time off per year and start earning vacation hours on your very first day. Apply in person Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. Interviews and tours are available at 1024 East Madison Street in Spring Green. Join the Cardinal CG team today and be a part of the future of residential glass innovation.
It's good to look into the windows you'll be looking out. The perfect place to look into new windows is PMI Windows of Lone Rock. PMI offers premium vinyl windows custom made to order with the latest advancements in glass and hardware technologies, fusion welded frames and sashes, and the industry's best lifetime no-nonsense transferable warranty. Windows are not all created equal. Let PMI custom tailor premium vinyl windows just for you. Call 583-7200 for a free estimate.
Do you realize that Richland Center is one of the few cities in Wisconsin to have an outdoor theater, roller rink, bowling alley, book, and record store? While visiting Richland Center, make sure you stop at Mastodon Records, located at Okooch Books and Libations. They have new vinyl, used vinyl, collectible and keepsake records, and can special order. Maybe you no longer own a turntable. Mastodon Records can hook you up. Stop by Mastodon Records in downtown Richland Center at Okooch Books and Libations to start your record year.
We're talking about Escanaba in the Moonlight. It opens next Friday here in Richland Center, and now we're going to present a little piece of the program. Take it away.
Beautiful. Is this heaven
Or is this heaven, eh?
This is heaven.
Oh, I think I look forward to opening day of deer season more than any day of the year.
Well, who doesn't, eh?
It's like Christmas with guns. You feel lucky this year, Pop?
Some of us don't need luck.
Well, I don't mind telling you, I'm feeling real lucky.
Pass some of it over this way, eh?
Well, I was driving up to camp tonight, and I swear to God, I had one of those tings.
One of those tings?
One of those tings you get when you're driving. What do you call them?
Blackouts?
No. You know, one of those tings that flash across your mind like a dream, only you're not sleeping.
A vision?
A vision, right. I had a vision. A big vision. Fact, it was such a big vision, I think it was a sign.
Oh, how much beer you drunk tonight?
Well, I was just going down the road, eh? Thinking about hunting, which scope to use, what socks to wear, how much beer to take, you know.
The essentials.
Right. When all of a sudden, holy wah, right there in front of me is a 50-point buck.
A 50-point buck.
There ain't no such thing as a 50-point buck.
A 50-pointer. I almost pulled my truck off the road. It was so real. And the thing was, he didn't go away. But I kept seeing him and seeing him and seeing him.
And you're still driving this whole time.
Well, I do not believe I was, no. Somebody had their hands on the wheel. But I cannot tell you for certain that day was mine.
Holy wah.
Holy wah is right. All I could see was this monster buck in my mind.
Oh, in your mind is right.
So I imagine myself bringing up my turdy-turdy, and I get him right in my crosshairs. And still, he don't move a muscle. But he's facing me straight up, eh? I can't get the good shot. So I whisper to him, "Turn around, big boy. Let me see you from the side." And sure enough, he turns for me. And he stands there all tall and proud like the trophy daddy is. And that's when he spoke to me.
He spoke.
A talking buck.
Take me, Remnar. Take me now. And I raise up my turdy-turdy, cock back my hammer, and blew him off the face of the earth. I tell you, Reuben, it was as real as you.
Wish I'd been the one to seen it.
Be the only buck you see this year, eh?
Ah, stick a sock in it, eh? You're just jealous because I kicked your butt last year.
You didn't kick my butt.
Oh, my 12-pointer to your little 4.4 corn? I think that's a buck kicking in anybody's book. Won't you say that's a buck kicking, Reuben?
I took the 4 corn and I passed up on a 20-pointer.
Oh, 20-pointer.
Because I didn't have a clear shot. That's right. If you can't make a clean kill, don't make the kill at all.
If you ain't gonna pull the trigger, Pop, then snap a picture. At least then you'd have something for the scrapbook.
Hey, don't forget who you're talking to.
Here we go.
Pop.
I shot the biggest buck anybody sitting in this room.
Oh, Remnar, leave him alone, eh?
Oh, when was that, Pop?
November 15th, 1961.
While you're up.
Back when the bucks was as thick as mosquitoes. That's right.
Bucks with wings, I'd like to see that, eh?
18 points, 15-inch tines, a 26-inch spread. With a weight of 285 pounds, and don't you forget it.
Are you sure you didn't shoot a cow?
Well, it would have been a state record if I felt like reporting it.
Well, it wasn't, because you didn't.
The heck it wasn't.
You didn't report it, eh? You don't report it. It ain't a state record.
Well, I don't believe in state records.
You don't believe in state records.
Well, I don't believe in anything managed by the gosh darn DNR.
They aren't either managed by the DNR.
The heck they ain't.
Reuben, what's the name of the whatchamajigger? The state's big game keeping agency down in the...
CBM.
Right, CBM. The CBM, Pop, it stands for... What? What's it stand for?
The Commemorative Bucks of Michigan.
Commemorative Bucks of Michigan. You gotta report it to the Commemorative Bucks of Michigan, Pop.
There's only one record book that counts, and that's right here.
Here we go.
When your great-grandpa Alphonse tagged the Sody Ridge buck in 1922, do you think he called the state? Heck no.
He'd probably hold the state record right now if he had.
He'd come back to camp, pulled out the Sody camp log, and started writing it down for all posterior. Where is it?
Oh, it's right there.
Oh, here it is. 1922. 28 points, with a rack spread of 33¾ inches. Oh, dressed at an estimated weight of 354 pounds. Boys, that's not a state record. That's a world record.
Well, how do you know what's in there is on the up and up? Anybody could write anything.
Cause it's sacred. If it's in there, it's the truth.
Well, make sure there's a pencil handy. Cause when I come down from the ridge tomorrow, there's gonna be a new Sodi record holder, eh? Ah.
Thanks for the snippet of Escanaba in the Moonlight. Andrew, when are you going to be putting it on? Tell us the times, the dates, and the place.
Yeah, it's March 14th, 15th at 7 o'clock p.m. at the City Auditorium, and Sunday, March 16th at 2 o'clock, obviously at the Auditorium as well. Tickets are just $10. They are only available at the door. We don't have anything set up to do advance tickets. But we're hoping to be able to do that someday. But so the 14th, 15th, and 16th, it's only weekend, just one weekend, and only $10.
Nice to have it on the stage at the auditorium.
Yeah, it is. It's worked out very well. And it's nice to be there. All of our stuff is pretty much there, except for stuff we have in a trailer. So it's nice to have our things there instead of having to ship them to the Copper Top or to the high school.
Great. We hope people will show up next weekend.
Yeah, so, great. Thank
all
you,
right.
Phil.
Make plans now. Thanks to the cast and crew of the Escanaba Into Moonlight production next week. Matthew Rowe was here earlier, and Cassidy Mancia-Young, Alex Miller, Greg Schmidt, Cameron Cormican, and Dwayne Rose, and director Andrew Sharp.
Hello, WRCO listeners. This is Kenny, the wannabe baker. Hey, Hank, have you tried one of Kirstie's breakfast entrees?
Did you make them?
No, of course not. My role is still very limited. But Kirstie and her team do offer several very tasty breakfast options, quiche, sandwiches, and breakfast treats, along with great coffee and other beverages to entice your palate. Kirstie's Sunnyside Bakery and Cafe, where every day is sunny.
At U.S. Cellular, you don't have to choose between a great deal on the phone you want or the phone plan that's right for you. You can get both. Four free phones of your choice and four lines for just $90.
Whoa! That's like getting tickets to both a wrestling match and a figure skating show, all in one.
Sure.
Don't steal that idea.
Don't worry, I won't. Get both. Four free phones of your choice plus four lines for $90. No trade-in needed. U.S. Cellular. Built for us. Terms apply. Visit uscellular.com for details.
There's no such thing as too much caring. That's why Gunderson Health System and Bellin Health have come together to form Amplify Health. The same doctors you trust, the same hospitals and clinics you count on, the same great care, all amplified by an even higher focus on empathy. Amplify Health is more than just a new name. It's a way to make personalized care more personal than ever. Amplify Health by Gunderson. A little empathy changes everything.
Does your employer offer 6 weeks of paid time off in your first year? Rockwell Automation does. How about a $2,500 sign-on bonus? A 401k with company match? Annual bonuses for all employees? Rockwell offers all that and more, including paid parental leave, tuition reimbursement, unlimited referral bonuses, and endless growth opportunities. This isn't your typical manufacturing job. It's a great place to work because of the great people who work there. Join the team. First shift starts over $20 an hour. Second shift, over $22 an hour. Apply at rockwellautomation.com/careers, search Richland Center, or stop by any Wednesday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. for an on-the-spot interview. Rockwell Automation, where talent meets opportunity.
Welcome to Pratt Chat. Pratt Chat is a service of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service of Richland Center in Muscadet. Join us each week for a conversation with Mark Jelenic of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service for answers to questions that we're all hesitant to ask. Pratt Chat is sponsored by the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service.
Mark, today let's talk about grief and handling that in a situation where there's a funeral.
Yeah. So grief is a really important part after death, and to really acknowledge the grief. And for some people, they can, you know, kind of look at it, they can handle things on their own. But there's also grief counseling, and it's really important if grief is really something that's taken a toll on you or you just can't necessarily move past or you're really struggling with it, we really encourage you to seek grief counseling. You can either go online. There's some really good online resources like BetterHelp.com has a lot of good references of how to find different counselors. But one that's really simple to do is actually just go to your primary care physician. They can talk to you. They can help you to find a provider within your network, which is also a big thing. Is grief is like anything else. You know, what will insurance cover? What will it not cover? So some of it might be out of pocket. Some will be covered by insurance. There are some grief groups around which are good if you can get into them, but some of the issues that we found in an area like ours is a lot of these grief groups are only for seniors. So if you've had the death of a child or the death of someone close to you and you're not a senior or of a certain age or a demographic, you're not allowed necessarily to go to some of these groups to seek help. So that's not really helpful for everyone. There are places, but we really feel it's important that you acknowledge the grief. Don't just stuff it in. Don't try to just get over it on your own. It might be one of those things, certain things you have to do on your own, but other things, it's really important to go and talk to some of your friends, talk to your clergy, talk to like-minded people or people that have had a similar situation. I'm not going to say the same situation because there's no death that's ever happened that we're in the same situation. Everyone's different. You want to seek someone that's similar, maybe someone that's lost a spouse, a child, a friend, a neighbor, you know, different things. Maybe it's an age. Maybe it's a certain disease that took these people. So find those like groups. There's a lot of really good books out there. A couple that come to mind are Final Gifts. It's a book that was written by hospice nurses. So it's a really good resource. Also just to go online, find Why We Grieve, ask the questions,